I want to add my thoughts to our visitors from North Ireland. We live in a wonderful time. Just last Sunday, we saw your photograph in that room on the board, and Mariana giving a report of her experiences in North Ireland at Coleraine Church. And she said, here's a man who's a very important leader of our church. And here he is today with us. We live in a marvelous time, and we're glad to have him and his wife, Co, with us this morning. The Bible says, speak to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And you know what that means if you've ever sat by Reginald during the song service. He speaks to you. It's always a thrill to me, and especially when we were singing the song, He Arose, Reginald let me know that he believed that Jesus arose, and so that was a wonderful song service. And I appreciated the selections today dealing with the Great Commission and our obligation to spread the gospel. One of the songs that we sang was written by Tillard S. Tedley, whom I got to know when I was a very young preacher. He preached for a small church where my in-laws attended, and he was in his 80s at the time, and a wonderful man, and he inspired me and made me see that one can continue a ministry long after people retire. And he's a great songwriter and preacher, and I got to know and to love him very much, and I guess he was without my realizing it, he was my inspiration for what I have done with my life. At first, I thought the song was about my birthday. Swiftly, we're turning life's daily pages, but with our visitors today, and they will be with us tonight at the baked potato supper, are Jim and Pat Deloney. You'll remember that Jim is not only a minister of the church in Houston, he's also the cowboy poet. And I was talking to Jim on the phone yesterday, and he has agreed to recite the Cowboys' Christmas at my house tonight for our supper. So I hope you'll come and you'll enjoy that very much. We're great friends, and he's been with the Impact Church of Christ for all these years and is still going very strong in the ministry, and we're glad for that. It is appropriate that we remind ourselves from time to time of what we call the Great Commission. And I want to read you the verses in the Gospels that we identify as the Great Commission. In Matthew 28, verses 18 and 19, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. That's in Matthew's gospel. Mark's gospel ends in chapter 16 with verses 15 and following. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. In that statement, go into all the world, I am reminded that our mission's contribution will be used in almost every continent of the earth. And you've always been so generous, and I hope that you are generous this year as well. One advantage of having a birthday in December is that's the month that the IRAs are distributed if you're born in December. And so I was thinking about what I could do in my own contribution toward the sending the gospel to all these nations. And sure enough, in the mail came a check on my IRA, and I thought, well, what a wonderful blessing that I can add this to what I had proposed to give. We never lose by giving to the missions of the gospel. And the real heroes of the faith to me are those men and women who do mission work. It is something that I realized is not in my temperament. Someone said, well, what do you mean it's not in your temperament? You spent 48 years in Galveston. Well, I need you in my Christian walk. I need the fellowship of a church. I cannot imagine going to a place where the church does not exist and try to start one. That just is beyond my abilities, and so I've never done that. But even though I realized at the first that's not my calling, I determined to always support missions wherever I was and have done so. And we've done so here in at Broadway. In keeping with the idea of the missions, our text today is Romans chapter 9. And, or rather, chapter 10, beginning with verse 9. Romans chapter 10, beginning with verse 9. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. As Scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. There, if you have a critical study of the Bible, you will notice that the word that is translated shame there carries with it the idea of disappointment. And I really prefer that word and would have preferred that word to be used in the text. Anyone who believes in him will never be put to disappointment. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. I thought of this question, how can anyone preach unless they are sent? That's what we are doing this morning. We are collecting funds so that we can send those who are willing and those who have abilities to preach the gospel to every creature. And sending is sometimes as important as the doing, because unless they are sent, they cannot go. I want to mention that in addition to these five mission efforts that we support in our annual contribution, Butch and Jerry Adams' son, William, who is finishing his work at Heritage Christian University, has plans for him and Randy, his wife, to go to Japan as a missionary. I just think that's marvelous that there are still young men and women in the church who are planning to go into all the world. to preach the gospel. I hope that sometime after the first of the year, he will be able to talk to us in more depth about his plans, because I just think that's the most noble thing that a young man can aspire to do. Unless they are sent. And that's what we are doing at this small church in Galveston Island. I think this is one of the most important sections of the book of Romans. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Confession is very important as a step in one's conversion to Christ. The religious world at large thinks confession is a confession of sin, but that's not. Confession doesn't center on who you are. It centers on who Jesus is. The acknowledgement of our sin is done in repentance. The confession that the New Testament speaks about that a person does is a confession of one's faith and fidelity to Jesus as Lord. This probably was a confession that was made at the time of one being baptized in the first church. What does it mean that Jesus is Lord? Well, it means that I'm no longer the Lord of my own life. I don't live strictly for myself. It means that no one else is my Lord to direct my life. It really means that Jesus controls everything about my life. And that brings remarkable peace and joy to a Christian. The only time in my life that has been filled with sorrow has been when Jesus wasn't Lord of a decision that I may have made. Whenever I have kept myself in the relationship with Jesus, that he is my Lord, and followed him, I have found this peace and this happiness that the scriptures speak about. Jesus is Lord is a confession that a person makes at the time that he is baptized and washes away his sins. If you believe with your heart, then you can be justified. In this reading, the apostle also states what it is that we are to believe. It is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. If you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. I've said at times to you that there is a zone of reasonable disagreements that we can have in the church. We don't have to agree on everything. The early church didn't agree on everything. And there is a zone of reasonable disagreement that we ought to recognize and disagree but still have peace. Usually those matters were cultural matters, such as eating meats offered to idols and things of that nature, that posed a real problem, cultural problem, for many Christians. There are some things that are not within the zone of reasonable disagreements. They are steadfast, and one of these is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's not negotiable. Where you draw the line of fellowship is always a question. But one thing I'm sure of is that we can have no fellowship with those who do not believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, because this scripture says, if you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. The resurrection is non-negotiable and forms the gospel. Remember what the Apostle Paul writes, that there are three things that are most important: the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. If you have a Bible concordance, you would find that phrase, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved, is used in the New Testament as a quotation from the Old Testament two other times. The first time that it's used is Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, when the Apostle Peter stood up to preach to the crowd, and he begins to quote from the Old Testament, and he ends that quote with that phrase, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. The second time that it is used in the New Testament and referred to in the New Testament is when the Apostle Paul was giving an account of his conversion on the road to Damascus and the days following. That's found in Acts chapter 22. I think it's important for us to refresh our memory with some of the details of that event. In Acts chapter 22, the Apostle Paul is telling of that story to the Jewish people and crowd in Jerusalem. I begin reading in the 22nd chapter. About noon, as I came near Damascus, suddenly a bright light from heaven flashed around me. I fell to the ground and heard a voice, and that voice said to me, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord? I asked. I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting, he replied. My companions saw the light, but they did not understand the voice of him who was speaking to me. What shall I do, Lord? I asked. I am Jesus of Nazareth. Get up, go into Damascus. There you will be told all that you have been assigned to do. My companions led me by the hand into Damascus, because the brilliance of the light had blinded me. A man named Ananias came to see me. He was a devout observer of the law and highly respected by all the Jews living there. He stood beside me and said, Brother Saul, receive your sight. And at that very moment I was able to see. And then he said, The God of our fathers has chosen you to know his will and to see the righteous one and to hear words from his mouth. You will be his witness to all men of what you have seen and heard. And now here's the important verse. And now what are you waiting for? If you grew up on the King James, the reading is, And why tarriest thou? What are you waiting for? Get up, be baptized, wash away your sins, calling on his name. So when we call on the name of the Lord, we are being baptized to wash away our sins. It seems so clearly taught in Scripture to me that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord and will be saved are those who confess Jesus Christ, who is the one raised from the dead, and who is baptized to begin a new walk in life. That's why the phrase is so important. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. I was reading in the Old Testament at the place where another of these statements is found, and I want to close with that. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. That's from the Old Testament. And the context of the Old Testament is messengers who came to Israel who were very much oppressed and enslaved. And these messengers said, there's good news. You're going to be delivered. And I have imagined in my mind how wonderfully received those messengers were. And no wonder the prophet said, the feet of those messengers are beautiful. Now, in all likelihood, it would not be beautiful from any standard that you and I would have for feet. They're not pedicured, pampered feet. These are men who had traveled far and over rugged terrain, and in those days with very poor shoes on their feet. And you can imagine what those feet looked like when they arrived where they were to bring the message. But the message is so wonderful that those who received it saw how beautiful the feet were. And he applies that to those that we send forth with the gospel. Those that we send forth, such as Mariana Long and Miguel Zuniga and William Adams and all the others that we support in being messengers of God. They have beautiful feet when they go and they share the gospel of Christ with people of all nations. I just love this Sunday every year. I love this Sunday because of you, because you've always been so generous and so supportive of carrying the gospel to the whole world. And you have treasured in your heart and in your practice the Great Commission of Christ. Not every church has lived up to that. Most churches, frankly, spend their money on themselves, in their buildings and in their overhead. But you don't do that, and we're grateful for that. And I join with you as I've made my contribution, and I'm thankful that God has blessed me so that I could make one, and I'm thankful that God has blessed you. I have never believed that one ever loses in what he gives to the Lord. I've always been blessed, and I know you have too, and I thank you for it. This morning we're going to have time for our invitation song. It'll be a time of confessing your faith and making a commitment that says, Jesus is Lord, and let him be Lord of your life. If you have a prayer request that we can assist you with, we invite you to come to the front. Well, let's stand to sing. Oh.